All right, brethren, let's turn to Ephesians 2 to begin with. Tonight I'm going to bring a message from two passages. One is Romans 4, and the other is James 2. But before we turn there, I want to begin by looking again at Ephesians 2 and what we've been looking at here in these couple of verses. We've seen here, first of all, that salvation is by the grace of God alone. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved." Grace is unmerited. There's no cause in the sinner. It's God's glory to choose whom He will, be gracious to whom He will. All who are saved by grace. And then all who are saved through faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. Just as every man is saved by grace, they're saved through faith. Christ said they shall all be taught of God. And He said, and therefore, every man that's taught of my Father comes to me. The Scripture speaks about Enoch and says he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Lord Jesus said, He said that those that believe will not be condemned. He said, but those that believe not are condemned already because they have not believed on the name of the Son of God, that they might be saved. So faith. And then we saw grace, salvation, and faith is not of the sinner. All is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Listen to James. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then we saw that no part of salvation is of works, so that no sinner has any room to boast. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. God the Father chose His people, not based on anything in us. Christ came, we're not justified by our works. The Scripture says, God said of His Son, my righteous servant shall justify many. We read in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Christ came to declare God to be the just and the justifier of him that believes. And no sinner can give ourselves spiritual life. We can't bring ourselves to faith in Christ. That's by God the Holy Spirit. We can't even boast that we keep ourselves. The Holy Spirit said through Peter, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then lastly, we see that from God's Word here, it says that the believer can't even boast of our good works. We can't even boast of our good works because they too are by the grace of God. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. Believers shall do good works. Because God before ordained, He before prepared, He before predestinated that we shall walk in them. And God alone works everything to equip and to bring His child to walk continually in what we call the goodness of the good works. What makes a work good? God wrought faith, repentance, love, submission, fear of God, wanting God to have all the glory. This is the goodness of a good work. And then every particular work itself, God brings us to the time and the place where He will have the work to be worked. And then God works in us to do the work, so that by grace we do the work God would have us to do. So there's absolutely no room for a sinner to boast about anything, any part of our salvation whatsoever, not even of our good works. Now, that being our introduction, let's turn to Romans 4. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's begin reading here in verse 2. Romans 4, verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Nobody's going to glory before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It was imputed unto him. All right, now hold your place right there and turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And let's read in verse 21. James 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now we just read in Romans 4:2 that Abraham was not justified by works, or he would have whereof to glory. Now here in James 2:21 we read, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? I want to read the next two verses to give you some context here. Now look at verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? Faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. It was made complete. It was made to be seen to be true faith. Verse 23 says, and the Scripture was fulfilled. This is so important. I want you to remember this. We're going to get to this at the very end, and you'll see it more clearly. This is so important. The Scripture was fulfilled. By this work Abraham did, the Scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, counted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. That's what we read in Romans 4:3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That was said in Genesis 15. And then in Genesis 22, James is telling us here, that scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. All right, now, some of you have expressed to me that you've had some difficulty with these two scriptures. And so I thought, since we've been looking at Ephesians 2, and that we just reviewed, this would be a good time to look at these two scriptures. God the Holy Spirit inspired or breathed into both Paul and James. So what they're saying here is of God. So they're not contradicting one another at all. Now they're writing of one man, Abraham. They're both speaking of one man, Abraham. But each passage declares two separate truths. Now Paul, in Romans 4, is speaking of justification before God. God justified Abraham by what Christ accomplished. God justified Abraham. Now listen to this part. Listen to this carefully. James is speaking of God justifying before all. Angels, men, before all to see. God is justifying that the work that he's done for his child Abraham is genuine. That he has justified him, and that he's given him genuine faith. And Abraham really believes. God's justifying his faith as being from God by what the work that Abraham did. Paul is speaking of the justification of Abraham's person. Of his person. James is speaking of the justification of Abraham's cause. Of his faith being true faith. Paul is speaking against works being the cause of our justification from our sins before God. He's saying we're not justified by works from our sins. James is speaking of those good works before ordained, which every true believer shall walk in. Paul is dealing with the self-righteous who trust in their own works, their own law obedience for justification, going about to establish their own righteousness. James is dealing with the self-taught, Gnostics, who have true doctrine. They have correct doctrine, but they've taught themselves, and there's no spirit working in their heart, so they don't bring forth any good works. Now, here's what I want us to get. Believers are justified from our sins by God. And that righteousness is received through God-given faith. So God does all the work to justify His child from our sins. And apart from our works. But God makes it manifest, open, makes it to be known that God has truly given us faith. That it's true faith. That God did it. That God has justified us and He's given us true faith. He makes that known, causing us to walk in the works that God has before ordained. That's how He does it. All right? Now, Abraham's the father of the faithful. So however Abraham was justified from his sins, and however Abraham came to walk in this, what James calls this good work that he did, that's how all believers are justified. That's how all believers are brought to work, walk in good works. The same way, just like Abraham was, because he's the father of the faithful. He's the pattern. He's the pattern. God shows us in Him how He saves and how He brings His child to walk in good works. All right, now here's our first point. Let's go back to Romans 4. Abraham was not justified from his sins by his works. He was justified by God. And the righteousness of Christ was imputed to Abraham through faith. It was charged to him. It was counted to him through faith. So it's all, that's the case of all who truly believe. Now look at verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, he couldn't glory before God because it says there, Abraham believed God. Where did faith come from? God gave it. He couldn't go to God boasting in his faith. God say, I gave you that faith. What you boasting about? He couldn't boast of any righteousness he had worked out by his obedience to the law. Number one, because he didn't have the law. And number two, because his righteousness, whereby he did fully establish the law, was from Christ. His surety given to him by God. You say, how did he have Christ's righteousness when Christ hadn't gone to the cross yet? Well, that's what Paul's talking about up there in Romans 3. Look here at verse 25. Christ is he whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. You see that? So Abraham's in the past before Christ came. But God could save him because Christ was his surety. And Christ's going to go to the cross for Abraham. And so God passed over his sins because of his surety. Now, Abraham couldn't be justified by the law because Abraham, just like me, just like you, was a dead sinner. That's where he started, in the land of idolatry. That's all he was. Abraham couldn't bring himself to God and would have had no desire to bring himself to God, not the true and living God. God came to Abraham. Abraham's faith, like our faith, was given of God. It's of God, not of us. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God, the Scripture says. Remember what 1 Corinthians 1:29 says? That no flesh shall glory in His presence. No man's going to be able to glory in God's presence, but of God are you in Christ, who of God's made unto us all. Christ is made all to us by God. We're in Christ by God, and Christ has made everything to us by God. God first came to Abraham, and the Scripture says that God preached before the gospel unto Abraham. saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Go to Genesis 12. You see, Abraham was saved the same way every sinner is saved. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. God spoke to Abraham when he preached the gospel to Abraham. He didn't speak of anything but of his own works. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is the declaration of God's works. Not our works, His works. Look at Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, let me get there. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. That's where he was dwelling. He was in his immediate father's house, but he was in Adam's house. He was a sinner, dead in the land of idolatry. But God came to him, and the Lord said to him, leave this place. And he said, I will show thee this land that I'm going to give to you. And he said, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now watch this part. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Scripture says he believed God when he left Ur. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. He went by faith. He believed God when God spoke into his heart. If you ever believe, it's going to be because the gospel comes to you, not in word only, not just the preacher preaching. It's going to come in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. Because when God speaks in the day of His power, we believe God because He gives us much assurance. He makes us to see what He's done, and He gives us every assurance we need to trust Him so that we can't do anything but trust Him. Now, Abraham believed that he and all of God's elect would be saved in this promised seed that God promised. Christ Jesus. That's who the promised seed is. That's what he believed. That's what we believe. That's what he believed. Verse 3 here in Romans 4 is quoted from Genesis 15. Look at Genesis 15. There's where God gave Abraham the gospel concerning his son. Listen to this. He's speaking of the seed in whom and by whom redemption would be accomplished. He said in Genesis 15:1, after these things, now look at that, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, now look at what the word of the Lord said. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. The word that came to Abraham, the word of the Lord that came to Abraham, is that word that was in the beginning with God. That word that was God. That word came to Abraham in a vision, Christ Himself, and listen to what He declared. I'm thy shield. I'm thy shield. Isn't that the gospel? Christ is our shield from divine justice. Christ is our shield from the wrath and fury of God because we've offended His justice. Christ is our shield from all our enemies. And He says there, and I'm thy exceeding great reward. Christ is our reward of righteousness. Free righteousness. We mean the same thing when we say free justification. Christ is our reward of free justification. He's our reward of the law being fully established by Him, by what He's done. You say, well, that's not a reward. A reward's something you work for, not with God. Not with God. With man, that's what a reward is, but not with God. Not with God. He said, I have rewarded you. Is that what he said? I've rewarded you double for all your sins. Let me look that up. Isaiah 40. You can stay there in Genesis. We're going to be there a minute, but let me just see here. Now she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's our reward, though. For our sins, He gives us double. He pardons us and makes us righteous. That's our reward. All right, now read Romans 3 with me just a minute. Hold your place there in Genesis. We're going to come back later. But look here in Romans 3:21. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? You see, Abraham established the law. What a great example for the Holy Spirit to move Paul to use Abraham and say, he's saying there, we're justified by God apart from our works of the law, and yet through faith we fully establish the law of God. What then did Abraham find? What did he find? 430 years before the law was given, without him doing any work according to the law whatsoever, Abraham fully established the law. How could you do that? How could you establish a law not even having it? Through the one who did. Through Christ. Through faith in Christ. That's what he did. Now, Christ told us this. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he said, and he saw it and was glad. He rejoiced to see my day. Abraham saw Christ's day in the promise that God gave when he said, in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham saw Christ in that promise. That was the gospel preached to Abraham. And he saw Christ in that. Let's look at the back there, Genesis 15. Here it is. That later on, Lord's going to make it more clear. He's going to say, in your seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. But here, now look, this is the beginning of that promise right here. You know, when you first hear the gospel, you don't understand it completely. You know that you don't get everything, but you get the fact that God's doing the saving. And that's what he got here. Watch this. Verse 2, Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. You've given no child. That's what he's saying. You've given me no son. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And he said, I don't have an heir. You're telling me that I'm going to be a blessing to all the nations and you're going to make a mighty nation of me? I don't have a son yet, Lord. Now look at what the Lord said. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Now here's the promise. But he, this one son that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, now you look toward heaven. And Abraham went out there, and man, that sky was full of stars from one side to the other. Full of stars. In that desert, he could see everywhere, far and behind him, everywhere. Stars. And he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now here he means children. So shall thy children be. All right, turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. In Galatians chapter 3, this is floating my boat really on a high sea. Galatians 3, I want you to see this. In Galatians 3, the Holy Spirit tells us what Abraham saw, what Abraham believed, rather who he saw and who he believed, in that promise. And then the Spirit of God says it's the same blessing. It's the same thing that we see when He gives us faith to behold Him in this promise. Now look, Genesis 3:8. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that is the Gentile, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There's that promise. That's what he said. In you, in this seed that's coming forth, shall all nations be blessed. So then, watch this, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those that are of faith are blessed to see what Abraham saw. We're blessed to see what Abraham saw. People, you always hear preachers saying, well, now they didn't see things as clearly as we see them. The Scripture says, we're blessed to see what Abraham saw. All right, here's what he saw. Verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. You see that? The law is not of faith. You can't live by the law. The just, those justified by God, live by faith. And because the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them, the man that wants to be justified by the law, he shall live in them. He's got to do them. He's got to do the whole law. Now look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. This is how we're justified. This is how we're made righteous. Christ was made a curse for His people. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And Christ was made a curse for us. And He bore the penalty, the curse, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He bore our stripes that God's elect deserved. All right, now watch this. That the blessing of Abraham, that the same blessing given to Abraham, which he saw by faith, which he got received through faith, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That doesn't mean that we might receive the Spirit through faith, that we might receive the promise that the Holy Spirit reveals in our hearts, and we might receive it through faith. Understand that? That the promise, He makes the promise like He did to Abraham. He came to Abraham, He gave him life, He revealed this promise that in His seed in Christ, Abraham was going to be justified. And so were all His children, His true children, His elect, were going to be justified. And so, Christ came then. Christ, the blessing came to Abraham before Christ came for the transgressions that were past when in Abraham's day. And then Christ came, this text says, Christ came and He was made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That, the blessing that Abraham was given way back there, might come on us Gentiles through Jesus Christ as well. Just like it came to Abraham. That we might receive the promise that the Holy Spirit reveals through faith. That we might receive it through faith. Now, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds to it. He's saying just in our everyday, the way we do things, if you make a covenant with somebody, that's it. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. It's done. The contract's done. And he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. God made the promise to Christ. And when he made the promise to Abraham, he said, Abraham, he that comes from your loins, he's going to be the one in whom my people are blessed. And that one he was speaking of is Christ. He's the one God made the covenant with before the foundation of the world. And he says here, verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, it was confirmed to Abraham of God in Christ. God said, in Christ, in this seed that's coming through your loins, Abraham, I'm going to justify my people. I'm going to make my people righteous. All right, that covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. It can't touch that promise. That it should make the promise of no effect. It can't touch it. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. You see how Abraham was saved, who Abraham saw, who Abraham believed, who Abraham trusted in, the one in whom Abraham established the whole law of God when as yet he did not even have the law of God. That's how every believer is saved. And that one is Christ Jesus. Paul said the same thing in our text in Romans 4. Through faith we establish the whole law, he said. And he said, and that's what our father Abraham found. That's exactly what he found. Not by his works, but by believing God, God imputed righteousness to him. Said, you're righteous in my son, Abraham. Now, Abraham, look back at Romans 4 just a minute before we move on. Abraham did what faith does. He had faith. God gave him faith, and he did what faith does. He believed that God could and would do that which is humanly impossible. You know, when men, you'll hear fellas and they'll say, I just cannot believe, and they'll say something about our gospel that they can't believe, because they say, you really believe that there's a man seated in glory? You know why they can't believe that? It's humanly impossible for one of us to do it, for a sinner to do it. But faith believes that which is impossible with men. That's what faith believes. Man, you know, I mean, how can I be just with God and God remain just and yet have mercy on me? That's the great mystery of the gospel. That's what humanly is impossible. With men it is impossible. But with God, He's done it in His Son by sending His Son to bear the sin of His people on our behalf. Now look, this is what is written of Abraham. Look at Romans 4 and verse 18. And we'll read out to the end of the chapter. Who against hope, against what would you normally hope in if you were just hoping according to the flesh, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. He said, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory. You know when you believe God can do something that just seems impossible? That's giving God glory. That's what that is. That's what it means. It didn't mean he went along saying, oh, glory to God, glory to God. He might have done that. But what it means is, by him believing God could do what was humanly impossible, he gave glory to God. You want to glorify God? Believe him. Believe him. That's what he did. Now look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's how you glorify God. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. He didn't work. He didn't do anything to try to make himself righteous. He believed God. And therefore, through faith, it was imputed to him for righteousness. In other words, God gave him the righteousness that had been ready made and ready worked out and accomplished for him by God from eternity in Christ his surety. He said, here's your righteousness. You're righteous now in Christ through faith, apart from works. Now, verse 23. Now listen to this. You who don't believe, listen to this. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. It wasn't for his sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. If you stop working and believe Christ. And he said, this righteousness shall be imputed to you, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now let me ask you a question. It says, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. What does it mean to believe that God raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead? Does it mean just believe the fact that he did it? No, it's to believe that the reason he raised him up from the dead is because Christ fully satisfied God. He successfully finished the work of declaring God just and of justifying His people so that the grave couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't hold Him because He conquered death for His people. And so God, being satisfied with Him, raised Him because He purged all the sin of His people. Now listen carefully. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to you when you believe that through faith in Christ you have established the whole law of God and are righteous in Him, so that you stop going about to establish your own righteousness. When we believe that Christ has fulfilled the law and established it and magnified it and honored it in my room instead, in my place, so that now I cease from trying to establish my own righteousness, that's when we've really been brought to believe on Christ. It's through faith in Christ that God imputes to the believer the righteousness, the free justification already wrought by Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Isn't that wonderful? The righteousness which is of the law says, if you want to come to God in the law, somehow, this is what you're going to have to do first of all, you got to go back to your mother's womb and be conceived without sin. That's the first thing you got to do. And then, from the womb to the tomb, in every thought, word, and deed, you've got to keep that law. And God will receive you. But the righteousness which is of faith, it doesn't say, oh, it's too far, it's out of my grasp, it's, I can't get. No, it says it's near you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. He that we with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. No work in there, is it? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Abraham believed unto righteousness. He believed God, and God gave him the righteousness Christ had worked out for him. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. God does all the work. He does all the work by Christ. God works within His people to bring us to believe on Him. And through the faith God gives, God counts us righteous in Christ. Listen to what is said of Abraham. Joshua 24:3 says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. He said, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. He didn't call those others out of Ur. He called Abraham and Lot, and he blessed them. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So, this is our first point. We see justified. God justified Abraham. God did it. He did it by the finished work of Christ, through faith in Christ, who stood as Abraham's surety. Abraham was not justified from his sin by his works. Alright, now let's go to James 2. James 2. Here we read, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now the works that James is speaking of, let me say this again, these are works that God foreordained. He foreordained, He ordained these before, which God works in His child by His grace, whereby God makes known that the faith He gives to His child is genuine faith. This is God manifesting. This is God holding up His child and saying, look what I've done. This is my work. I've done this. It's not the sinner doing something to justify himself as having faith and to before men. It's God doing it in the sinner to say, I've done this. Let me show you something. I just saw this before I stood up here to preach. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul says, we're in verse 8, he says, we're confident and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We're confident and we're willing to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. He says, verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Well, look at this next phrase. But we are made manifest unto God. We're made known unto God. God knows what He's done. He knows the work He's done, the work He's accomplished, and He makes it known before all what He's done, His work. So in Judgment Day, the works we're going to be judged by, we're not going to be standing there boasting of what we've done. That's what the self-righteous will do. They'll be boasting of when did we not do these things, Lord? Didn't we do many wonderful works? Didn't we cast out devils? And the believer will be standing there going, Lord, when did we do any of these works? The one who will be boasting on the believer's side will be God. Because God will be saying, I worked all these works in you. Look at this believer right here. I worked these works in him. I did it. Isn't that what the scripture says? Paul said, brethren, be careful to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Whatever you're doing in the church house, outside of the church house, amongst your brethren, outside of your brethren, whatever you're doing, do everything with fear and trembling, because it's God which worketh in you both to do, what is it? To will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God working in you. He's doing it. He's going to manifest these works. Now let's just look at this for a minute. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Let's go to Genesis 22. I won't have time to go through all this, but we'll just touch on it. Genesis 22. God said Abraham believed God. That's what God said. He wrote it in the scriptures, and he said Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness. That was in Genesis 15. I can't remember if I showed it to you or not, but anyway, that's where it was. Now, here we are in Genesis 22. And by this work that God before ordained for Abraham to walk in, God's going to manifest that that scripture is true. You know, James says here, that scripture was fulfilled. That said, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. How was it fulfilled? God fulfilled it. How did He fulfill it? He proved Abraham, He had given Abraham true faith, and Abraham really believed Him. And He proved it by this work He had ordained before to be done. Now look at verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, here I am. Now tempt means this was a trial to prove Abraham's faith, to make his faith known before men. God's going to hold him up as a trophy of His grace. Now, verse 2 says, And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, understand this. This is proof to us, brethren, that these works that God's talking about, that justify our faith as being genuine, they're not works you and I go around looking for to do to prove. Look at us, we're little sunbeams. That's not what they are. Because God came to Abraham, and this work that God told Abraham to do, do you think this work would have ever been something Abraham would have dreamed of doing? No. no way at all. This is the son God, first of all, it's Abraham's son, his only son. And secondly, it's the son through whom God said the Messiah is going to come. Abraham would have never imagined in a million years that God would consider it a good work to take that boy up on this mountain and sacrifice him on an altar. But God said, God called him to that work. You see, God calls us to these works. We don't, like when we enter these trials, we don't know what God's doing. But He does, and He's doing it for a purpose. He's doing it to manifest what He's done in us. What He's done. Look at this now. He went up there because Hebrews said he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He believed God. He believed God. All right, now. And you know, think about it too. This is not the first work he did that manifests he believed God. I told you before, he left Ur because he believed God. That's what the scripture said. We just read there in Romans 4, he staggered not at the promises of God. Everything he did, he was trusting God. And so there's a lot of things that could be used, but this one's used because it pictures Christ so much. So as you see here how much it pictures Christ, just remember that whenever God brings us into a trial and to persevere in faith, to walk in submission to Him and obedience to Him, to fear God and desire for Him to be glorified, these are the good works. When He does that, be sure, you can be sure He's teaching us Christ along the way. Because everything here pictured Christ. That's what He's teaching Abraham. Alright? And we see by what God's done for us in saving us to the uttermost and saving me. He raised me from the dead. I know He can raise my son from the dead. That's what Abraham's thinking. So we can sacrificially do whatever it is God calls us to do because God's already provided everything for us and He's going to provide all for us. So he went 3 days. 3 days. Hawker says that's a picture of Christ being, Isaac being under that sentence of death for 3 days is a picture of Christ being under the sentence of death for 3 days. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Hear that? He said, we're going to go up there and we're going to worship God. Remember we saw Sunday that these good works are worshiping God? He said, we're going up there and we're going to worship God. And he said, and we're coming again to you. Me and the boy, we're coming back. We're coming back. He believed God. Now look, how did he justify he believed God? Look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, so they went both of them together. The works that God's before ordained are works we shall do by His grace, trusting that God will provide. That's right. Do you believe God? Why not? If you don't believe God, why not? God does what He promises. God provided Himself as the Lamb. He did. God was in Christ reconciling His people to Himself. Abraham didn't say, well, I believe God. This is what James is saying. Faith without works says, oh, I believe God's sovereign. I believe He can raise this boy from the dead. I believe God can do that. God is, and dot all your I's and cross all your T's with all your doctrine. And then say, but I'm not going to go up there and lay Him on an altar. We don't really believe He's sovereign, do we? Alright, but Abraham, verse 9, so they went. They came to the place. Abraham built the altar. And he laid Isaac on the altar. Verse 10 says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. This is Christ, the angel of the covenant. And he said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Now listen to what he said. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God knew this before. God knows all things. He knew this before. But two things. One, he's speaking in the infirmity of Abraham's faith to assure Abraham, to comfort Abraham's heart, saying to him, you know Abraham had to be in some terrible straits here. He's about to kill his son. And he said, Abraham, I know you believe me. He comforted his heart. But the other thing is, he says, now I have made it known. I've made it known that you fear me. So that right now, me and you, why'd he make it known? So that me and you could sit here and look at this and understand what he means when he says, when I've worked faith in somebody, I'm going to bring forth good works in them. To justify that the faith I've given, the work I've done, is genuine. It's genuine. Now we know it. We wouldn't have known it had Abraham not done this, right? Now we know it. Let me tell you what he said in Deuteronomy 8:2. Thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee. Who's leading us into these good works? He is. And he said, these 40 years in the wilderness, and here's why he said he did it, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or not. What does God make us know about our own hearts when he does this? He makes us to say with Paul, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What does he make us to know about him through these works? Look at Genesis 22:13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. At the end of every trial of faith, at the end of all these works, he brings us to behold Christ, the Lamb of God, who God provided to take our place, in whom we're perfectly righteous. That's what he makes us to know about him. This is your righteousness. It's Christ. And what does God bring us to confess when he works these works and causes us to walk in these works? Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He makes us to say, it shall be seen that God has provided. He makes us to confess, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Now look at this. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That seed there that's going to possess the gate of his enemies is Christ. It's Christ. And in thy seed, in Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so Abram went back home. He went back home. Now, Hebrews 6:11 tells us this, gives us the application. Listen to this. You be going back to James 2, and I'll fix the finish. Let me read this to you from Hebrews 6. I quoted this on Sunday when we were looking at these good works. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Perseverance. That's a good work that he's called us to. But that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And here's why he says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He quoted that scripture right there and said, he swore by himself. Said, I can swear by no greater. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Now look at James 2. Look at James 2. I hope you see this. Seest thou, verse 22, seest thou how faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. It was made manifest to be true faith. And the scripture was fulfilled. It was shown to us that it was true. God justified his very own claim when he said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. God said, see there? I told you. I told you he believed. He brought it to pass. So by Abraham's work, we know it. We know it's true. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you see something now of why we're not justified by our works before God from our sin? But God himself uses these foreordained works to justify before men and angels and everybody that cares to look into it that the work he's done is a genuine work. And he justifies our faith as being genuine faith by these works. That makes me want to, whatever God's put in my way, it makes me want to do it with diligence. It makes me want to, because it's manifesting what he's done. Amen.